Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and this show is proudly brought to you by Saxa Salt after I did lose to the Statesman in our Keeper League by one solitary point. It's a bit of pill to swallow, especially after my beloved Doggies went down by 2 points to North Melbourne in what was one of the blunder kicks inside 50 of the year. But we have our rounds 15, waiver wire pickups, trades, Statesman skippers, an injury report from Mr. Cam McLaughlin himself, and the top five things we noticed throughout the week. But as always, we've got Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, John. I always think the bye rounds are a really good time to take a stock take of your team and start thinking about a few things. I know with the hashtag brand, I'm already looking at next year and some exciting things happening. But if you haven't got your tickets for the Dream Team Talk live show in Melbourne, I strongly suggest you do. That should be a great night. I know we'll be there, Jonathan, downing a few ales. And yeah, I'd just recommend it. Those guys have been great to us and love to see some listeners and have a beer and all that sort of thing.
And we have the man with the plan who's ninth overall in our hashtag off-brand salary cap format, AFL Fantasy. That is the Statesman. Welcome to you.
Sadly, I was not inducted into the Tasmanian Hall of Fame over the weekend. I'll make sure I update my application for next year. Heck, how Jack Riewoldt gets in that Hall of Fame ahead of me, I've got no idea, but that's beside the point. You know, one little premiership in 37 years, who knew? But congratulations to all the inductees. Fabulous for our wonderful game. On another note, I've just got to say, I love the buys, and there's a little bit of buy regret happening now that it's not continuing for another couple of weeks. Two out of three wins in every single league I'm in, majority of them, three out of three, Jono, which includes knocking you off. So in the Listener League Keeper, 1 point victory over Jono, so put his position in the finals under threat. And after I won the premiership last year, had a quick rebuild after being on the bottom. I'm already threatening only two wins away from finals. And if I get in, Jono, that's the end of you. And I'll knock over Steve again because he'll choke in the finals, of course. But the buys planning did work very well for my salary cap team as well. So now in the top 10 in AFL Fantasy, less than 100 points off the lead. But now the real stressing happens because it's no longer up to the planning. It's up to the luck. And that's what makes our game absolutely wonderful. But it's been fantastic. I must admit, I've had a great week. But I need to throw a Stremple. I have one of the worst trade offers sent to me in history, and to be fair, it wasn't a Listen League keeper, so they might not actually know who I am. So I held myself back, but I dare say there was a few words that I would normally say to people in a conversation, but obviously not recorded in a pod. They include the words that have head at the end of it. But the actual offer was in a keeper league. Armitage, who we reckon's probably got two games, but if he doesn't play Gold Coast again, maybe one against Carlton and a couple of Friday nights. Josh Jenkins, who is 29 and really waiver wire material, destroyed me in a grand final against We Got Big Cox a couple of years ago when he smashed out a 27 in the grand final with a V on him. And Tim Kelly, who I reckon is going to be a great little player for Geelong, but let's look at the midfielders there. He's only going to be a 70 to an 80 average midfielder, so he's just on the bench and waiver wire. And what they wanted out of me was Blake Akers and Dylan Chiel. So that's a Stremple for that trade offer. I get really annoyed when you get the crap not win-to-win options, so I needed to throw that one out and stop selling people really bad offers. If you want something, you got to give something.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing some of the logic people come up with when they're offering trades and how they value players. I mean, in our home league, my brother offered me Jack Riewoldt for Zach Tui because Jack Riewoldt was score affected by the concussion he had early in the year. No. I have no interest in Jack Riewoldt. But
he's in the Tasmanian Hall of Fame. There you go.
Yeah, and he danced with the Killers on stage after the grand final as well, so good for him. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and at STPorter15. We have the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, where we've got articles dropping Monday to Friday for your reading pleasure. And we've got the T-shirts as well. You can check them out at spreezy.com/thedraftdoctors as well to pick up your merch. But we are talking the top five things we notice throughout the round. And as always, kicking us off, Stevie Fizz.
Yeah, actually, I didn't think that Riewoldt for Tui off was all that bad, but whatever. Things I noticed. GWS. Surprising that with no Harris Andrews, they couldn't put a 21-man Brisbane away, given how open the game was. I was blown away, especially after the incident early on, that there was seemingly no pressure. I was surprised. And their next 4 weeks, they've got Hawthorn, West Coast, Richmond and Port Adelaide. I mean, their season is slipping away quite quickly. It'll be very interesting to see how they respond. We'd expect Jeremy Cameron to get some weeks. But the interesting thing is that defenders have actually been scoring really well against them lately, much like we saw throughout the previous two seasons, but it was something they sort of nipped in the bud early this year. But that looks to be back. I mean, Luke Hodge, what did he have, like 160 in Supercoach this week? Just massive score, along with Daniel Rich. But defenders might be a great option to if you need a stream to go against GWS in the coming weeks.
And what's their midfield mix, Steve? I looked at the Coniglio's score being down in the 70s. I'm just wondering, is that a concussion affected? We've seen people being affected for 3 or 4 weeks after having concussion. Or is that just Kelly's back in, Taranto had a bit of midfield time, and obviously someone's getting starved in the centre minutes?
Yeah, Taranto was certainly in there all game, but just I always think of Steve Coniglio as a real contested player. He builds his score through the hard pill and laying tackles. And this game was as open as I've ever seen. I think Brisbane had 34 tackles for the match, and GWS only had 40 something. It was just, I've never seen, I have seen games like that, but it's just really rare to see games that open, that lacking in pressure. And he's in there, like they're in there. The guy who looks to be missing out a little bit is, in terms of ball, is Scheel. So I'm not a huge Dylan Scheel fan anyway. But it's
should I take Armitage and Jenkins for him?
Oh, most definitely. No, right. It's actually he's fine. But it's strange, the rumours of him going to St Kilda. He seems to be the guy they have rather than the guy they need. St Kilda. So I don't know. It's a strange one. But one of the, like we often talk about our wins and take victory laps and all that sort of thing, but one of the big misses this year has to be Luke McDonald. He's really had a poor year, and he's stuck out on a wing, not building his score particularly well. And I guess the worry was there with him through his VFL career, where he didn't find much of the ball. But with Marley Williams, Tom Murphy, Sam Wright, Jamie McMillan across halfback, he's just been squeezed out of there. Maybe the game, because it was such a high-pressure game, didn't suit him, but that's just been a whiff. He hasn't killed you, but he certainly hasn't lived up to that top 15 potential billing as a defender. And Jed Anderson was back to his pure mid-role, so that was great to see. I sort of had a little bit of a worry there, but fantastic. The Port Adelaide, the time on ground just makes their midfielders so volatile. The one who kind of gets away with it is Jared Pollock on the outside. But you look at Ollie Wines, Ebert, Sam Powell-Pepper and Rockliffe. Rocky only the 59% game time this week. And I just want to give you the standard deviation of a guy like Ollie Wines. Actually, 25. Whereas you look at a guys who are averaging the same, and the lower the number, the less volatile you are. Mitch Robinson's averaging about a point different, is 11, and Sean Higgins is 19. So just super, super volatile with this low time on ground. I don't have a lot of faith in these guys, but the guys like Wingard and Pollack, who can do the inside-outside or do something forward of the ball, they're the ones who are going to be more consistent. And just want to say, like, I'm looking at, you know, always looking ahead, always thinking ahead, and we often talk about the third-year breakout. How exciting is next year's third-year breakout list? You're talking Andrew McGrath, Tim Tarano, Hugh McCluggage, Ben Ainsworth, SPS, Ollie Florent, Jai Simkin, Jared Berry, Sam Powell-Pepper, Tim English, Alex Witherden, and Brandon Parfitt, Zach Fisher, and there's more. Like, it is, there is a smorgasbord of fantasy-relevant players coming through. If you're rebuilding your keeper list, good times for you. That's all I'm going to say, which is me.
And that's what I've done. I've got so many second-year players ready to go for their third year. I've got seven of those you just rattled through in the listener league keeper.
Yeah, so I think it's really great time. And Collingwood might finally get their first rising star ever.
Yeah.
Jaden Stevenson just...
Second mate, Nathan Buckley won it. Or did he win it from Brisbane?
For Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
And what have you got there, Statesman?
No Sheed, no West Coast. That's pretty clear. I'm sure that was coming out from Archie during the weekend. But really, it was the lack of a forward line, or at least a key forward. So McGovern may be their answer for the next month or so until they get either Darling and or Kennedy back, although that solution may create other issues for the Eagles. But once they get Barras back in that back line, McGovern probably can be released forward. But my tip at the moment is it's good news for defenders scoring against the West Coast Eagle in the next month or so. So look for those matchups because it could be quite worthwhile for your waiver wires and your bench options and your loophole options when we're looking against teams playing the West Coast. The second thing, it is not always the ones you expect to get the extra points. So planning for Hawthorn playing Gold Coast, there were four names that constantly get rattled up, and including myself when I was talking about the captain options for this game. And, of course, it was Titch, scored 84. Smith only scored 71. Gunston only scored 69. And another one I thought would go massive was Sicily, who only got 91. So we thought that they'll all have field days. But it was Liam Shields, 124. Jago O'Meara, who got 121. So there were still big scores from players in the midfield. And then up forward, like we expected, there was some big scores. But it was Bruce with 108 and Impey with 100 who gained the benefits of this week against the Gold Coast. And I think Steve mentioned a couple of those would have been available during the waiver wire last week. So I'll be looking at that for teams that are playing Gold Coast. But maybe at times it's not the not-so-obvious ones that you'll be able to get some real rewards out of. So my third thing is Gold Coast. In a great day, on a big ground, only 1,346 points. So perfect conditions, not much of a breeze, only 1,346 points, making few of their players really fantasy relevant, gents. It is strugglesville when we're talking about big points at Gold Coast.
Isn't that a bit of a thing, though, down in Tasmania, though, that usually the team the Hawks play often rolls out a really lousy fantasy score? I think that's been pretty historical, hasn't it?
Yeah, but you still get the one or two players that can get the big score against them. So, yes, the whole team might not get some huge points because you're talking about a bit more open space, and that's when Hawthorn can use their skill game, which is actually hit up target. So you're just getting less of the contested ball. But you still get the individuals that get the big points. There was no one that turned up from Gold Coast on the weekend. That's a real concern. Fourth thing I noticed from the weekend is Lachie Neal. I seriously missed seeing his name or seeing him get a kick for me or a tackle for me. So I just had to mention him in the rap review. Be great to see him back this weekend. We miss poor old Lockie. Well, I certainly do. And last but not least, wasn't it great to see, and Steve jumped on this a little bit, but Hugh McCluggage had his breakout game on the half-forward line and working through the wing this week with 111. It was just under a ton in Supercoach, but a massive score in AFL fantasy scoring. So that boy is going to be an absolute superstar. I think he's going to be like Lachie Whitfield. So I expect him to keep his forward status and be a really high 90 average forward next year. So I reckon he's going to be a top six forward next year, Hugh McCluggage.
Heard it here first on the Draft Doctors, top six for Hugh McCluggage next year. Some of the things I noticed on the weekend in that Hawthorn game, there's going to be some massive baby swag coming towards Big Boy McAvoy and Poppy.
Bang.
They were both on standby. I think Poppy flew in Saturday morning as his partner was about to pop. Big Boy did make the game and they both played. So. No puns there. But watch out for them. Big Boy would probably be highly owned, but Poppy should be readily available on any waiver wire floating around. Luke Beveridge, the Doggies actually played pretty well on Saturday night, and he seemed to flip the teams around a little bit. I thought I'd had a few too many furfies by when the game started, when I saw Aaron Norton and Zane Cordy line up in the forward line, and it seemed to work pretty well. Norton took a few good contested marks, kicked a couple of goals as well, and they had Bailey Williams, who'd been playing in the half-back line. He ran through the midfield and attended quite a few centre bounces there and kicked a couple of goals himself, so a bit of a switcheroo.
Dunkley with the tag.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Kept Sean Higgins quiet for a half until North Melbourne switched it up themselves and he was able to get off the chain. Caleb Daniel, I think he's VFL depth player at best. He just looked outmatched against the bigger bodies, couldn't stick tackles. He turned it over a few times as well, but I think Lin Jong has to come into that team. Play that little half forward role and he's a bigger body through the midfield as well, especially with all the injuries they've got. And also noticed that Ed Richards was moved out onto the wing and kind of was a little bit lost in that game and didn't have as much of an influence as he had in the previous weeks where he'd been actually scoring pretty well. So I'd like to see him go down to half back. Jesse Hogan's 2 weeks in a row he's gone goalless. Has hurt the D scoring potential. It's all going to Tommy McDonald. We did see when they had the ability to move the ball and get the ball inside 50 really quickly, that both of them can get it on, get on the end of a few and kick some 3 or 4 goals each. But it's only been left to Tommy McDonald, and he's having no impact. Didn't really get push up onto the wing as well, which he normally does. But they're playing the Saints this weekend, so. Expect a big bag for Jesse Hogan this week. And the last one, because I only had 3 teams playing, have you guys noticed that in every radio interview or TV interview with a player that they're in All-Australian contention, they're having the season of their life and they're going to be in that All-Australian squad? It's just giving me the shits. Not everyone's going to make that squad. There's only 40 players picked for that squad, so not everyone's in contention for All-Australian, so just give it up to all those radio interviewers and leave it to the professionals to pick the 40 come, when is it, September, I think. And that's my 5 for this week. But moving on now to our waiver wire pickups, and when we do talk waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy 75% ownership rule or less, just to give those a bit of a chance and to find some quality players in the pool there. And I'm going to kick it off with Marcus Adams from the Western Bulldogs into his first game this week in 33% of teams, took 12 marks for the night. Scored pretty well in the 90s and also looked to have straightened up that Bulldogs defence playing on Benny Brown, even though he did kick the 5 snags. But we do know Marcus Adams is a can score in terms of fantasy. I've also got Jarryn Geary. He's actually been having a pretty good year supercoach-wise in 51% of teams, coming back off injury. So they've got a few good game fantasy games coming up in the next few weeks. So if he's playing... look to grab Jarryn Geary. You've got the Hill boys in the pool there at 66% for Stephen, 65% for Stephen Hill. And Brad Hill's coming, is about, and should be a test this week. He's in 74% ownership. So had been scoring, had a pretty good year last year. Haven't only played the 2 games this year, so we haven't seen a lot of him this year. And I'm thinking Tommy Bug might get a run in the next couple of weeks. He's only in 13% of teams, but he had 27 possessions, like 12 tackles on the weekend. So he could be playing as that forward, the pressuring forward in that Melbourne team, and can kick a couple of goals himself and run through the mid. So be keeping an eye on Thomas Bug. But that's my five, Steve.
Yeah, I think you're pretty strong there. I'm with you on Marcus Adams, especially for your Supercoach leagues. No-brainer there, you'd think. But I actually think it's a really strong week for waivers. I've got guys who I definitely think you can spend that priority on. So I've got Tommy Sheridan from Fremantle, 70% ownership, averaged 89. Dream team over his last three games. Whether the Hills coming in affects his role, we'll wait and see. But he's certainly doing the trick at the moment. Again, Hayden Crozier, your boy, Jono, if Suckling continues to miss, 45% ownership, is a forward defender.
Suckling will be back this week, so...
Scratch that.
Just keep an eye on it. If Suckling's named, abandon ship. If not, pick him up.
Well, the thing is, they might shift Suckling's role.
Like, well, they could even shift Crozier's role because he's such a good user of the ball. They can plonk him out of a wing, get that ball inside 50, or play as a forward because we know he's a pretty good marker of the ball as well.
It's Western Bulldogs. They could just throw the magnets.
I picked him up in my own league. 62% ownership for Essendon. The penny looks to have dropped. He's stringing some games together, so I really like that. Hugh McCluggage, 72% ownership for Brisbane. And I'm with you on the Hills. And the last one, just with Port Adelaide's string of games, they've got Carlton, St Kilda, Frio, GWS and the Bulldogs. It's our old buddy, Donuts Motlop, at 65% ownership. You all laughed when I said pick him up 2 weeks ago and he gave you a ton.
That was me, thank you very much.
What? Oh, no, you did. Well, I copied you, so I'm taking credit as well.
Very good. What do you got there, Statesman?
Only a couple to add to the great list that you guys put together, but it's nice to see you keeping always under the 65% ownership, gentlemen. Well done.
Ryan Lester,
yeah, you change things to suit your own needs. There's plenty on there that are below 65. Only owned by 30%, which is under the 65, just so you're aware of that, gentlemen. 25-year-old forward for Brisbane in Ryan Lester. He's been averaging 82 in the last 3 weeks in a good, solid role. I think he'll keep that role. They're struggling in a few areas, so they sort of need that experienced, hard-working player. So Ryan Lester's going to be quite worthwhile. I think he'll continue around the 75 to 80 average if he remains in that role, so he might be quite worthwhile. We talked about him last week. Mason Redman, really impressed. It'll be interesting to see what Cameron comes up with regards to the slight injury concern.
I was going to say he finished the game on crutches, so waiting on a medical report on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, he's still going to be worthwhile. Got the 71 points, so it was expected that he'll average over 70 for the remainder of the year. And if it's just that sort of ankle where you can do the old couple of hours ice and recovery and get him back, he'll be fine because he was on track for a mid-80 score after his 92 first game. So he's going to be a pretty good player and a good scorer and just seems pretty calm under pressure. And young Ollie, owned by 37. He had the bye last week, but over 80 in his last three games. He's still available in most leagues, seeing he had the bye. So I think he's 38% owned.
Yeah, there's quite a fair few this week. You could pick up. You've also got Nick Robinson floating around, 43%. And a couple of the Essendon speedsters, Tip and Woody and McKenna, should be able to run the ruse right next weekend. Yeah, looking forward to that one. But if you want to check us out, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button so the show gets to you, your device, each and every week without you having to do a thing. And if you're really enjoying the content, please do leave us a review. We really appreciate it as it really helps the brand. But moving on now to Steve's buy, sell or hold from his Dozen Deal article. What have you got for us this week?
I've got some buys, John. I've got some buys. I know people are heading into their sprint towards the finish line. So we're not looking at sells so much this week. So I've got a buy in each position. Midfield, Dan Hanbury. I hear you vomiting, all right? I hear everyone vomiting, but look, he's had the bite. This is a complete take on trust. But in the last game, he is still playing through the midfield. Found 25 possessions. Unfortunately, 20-something of them were handballs. So the handballs, the handball ratio is terrible. Tackles are down, marks are down. This is just a complete take on trust that he'll bounce back. He shouldn't cost you anything, realistically. He's only averaging something like 60. So
should be in the pool.
Well, he should be in the pool. So it's a take on trust. It might not cost you much at all to get, but he's someone in the midfield you might be able to snag on the absolute super cheap. Bashihouli for defence is ready to return. One thing about Bashihouli is his average is severely affected by an injury-affected score. But that's weeks ago, so hopefully the Bashihouli's owners forgot about it. Hey, he's averaging X. You can buy him on the cheap, but he's a quality player you can snag for the run home. We've got two forwards just quickly. Blake Akers should resume. He's having a breakout year. He'll probably take a game or two in the VFL, but he's a superstar. Well, he was having a breakout season. Someone you might be able to snag cheap. But the other one I really like with the draw coming up who will definitely be cheap is Charlie Dixon. He's still getting some time in the ruck, but they should, you know, the next five matches, they should blast these teams, theoretically. Whether it happens or not, I don't know, but he should be absolutely cheap as chips.
Yeah, don't mind him at all. Moving on now to the Statesman Skippers, where he gives us a unique and risky option for the coming games this week.
Well, firstly, we need to cover the loopholes, and obviously we've got two games a game, but the first one isn't this ugly for a loophole game. Richmond v Sydney. So we're talking no one that scores any decent score versus the team that doesn't let anyone else score. That is not a good thing when you're looking for a loophole captain. Of course, there are plenty that have got some potential. So if you've got Heaney, Kennedy, Lloyd, Martin, Buddy, or Cochin, or maybe even Parker, they're all worth a punt to put your VC on to see what they get. And if they get you over 110, you might as well take that. So Western Bulldogs and Geelong provide a few more options on the Friday night game. Even a Geelong ruckman could actually score against the Bulldogs, unless the Bulldogs get a spray, of course. Danger, Selwood, Ablett, Duncan, the Bonds, McLean, and Hunter, all worthwhile to have loophole options. So looking at our captain risky, didn't quite work out with James Sicily last weekend. They only gave us a 91. So a risky captain of the week. I need to keep going against the Suns at the moment because we've got some unexpected people getting some big scores. So I'm going to go Tom Phillips, Collingwood Football Club. He can go big. He's a big ball collector. He's not going to get the attention of the higher quality midfielders, but I reckon there's an easy 120 plus. So if you've grabbed him, average draft position of 170, so what a bargain he's been this year, averaging over the ton. I think Tom Phillips would be an absolute Monty to go massive this week.
What are your thoughts of Callum Sinclair being a bit of a risky option as well, seeing as Nank likes to give up the points?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, but I think Nank keeps something in reserve for Sydney, and I think that's been pretty clear. Being an ex-player, he sort of knows those players quite well and probably does a bit extra work on them. But Nank's points against have been a bit up and down. It's like Jared Witts. They're really hard to read those two, whether they're going to go well themselves or restrict someone else. So I'm a little bit mindful and careful with those ruck positions. They look ugly. I was all over Steph Martin getting a 150 this week, to be quite honest with you, against GWS, and struggled to get 67 as he did. So, look, it's besides Maxi and Brody, it's pretty hard to read how the ruck contests are going to go on the weekly basis. You just know Jacobs is going to lose.
Yeah, exactly right. And finally, we have the injury report from the third McLaughlin brother. That is Mr. Cam McLaughlin himself. What have we got on the injury front this week?
G'day, guys. It actually wasn't too bad, to be honest. There wasn't too many injuries floating around. The midweek madness wasn't so severe, but I'll go through, I guess, the main ones from the weekend. To your point, Statesman, around Mason Redmond, I'm looking at about 2 weeks for him. So he did end up on crutches, and that's never a good sign. And that's still with scans to come. So it's pretty hard to find any information on it at the moment, but I think it's probably 2+ weeks. The next one, Harris Andrews, he got knocked into next week by Jezza Cameron, and he was in awful shape, so he ended up in hospital with delayed concussion symptoms as well. And, you know, regardless of who I suggest that people should pick up, they're just going to pick up Hugh McLuggage anyway for him, so go and grab him this week, I reckon. Another concussion issue, Ben Jacobs was a late out. I know that he's been pretty serviceable this year. He was replaced by Billy Hartung, who, you know, subsequently did his hammy. So Ben Jacobs will come straight back in. Billy Hartung will spend probably 2 to 3 weeks on the sidelines with that hammy. And to be honest, he's probably not first team anyway. Matty Cruiser, so he went down in the game with this afternoon with an ankle injury, and he tried to come back on and play out the game, but he was ruled out after half time. Again, he's had ankle issues this year already, so it's not a good sign. He's a big unit, right? So he's a 110 kilo plus gentleman, you know, rolling an ankle, it's never a good sign. So he's going to go for scans tomorrow. I kind of expect him to be out for probably 3 to 6, pending severity. He did miss a few earlier on, as I was saying. John Segler, so he's just come back from his knee reconstruction, 2 games in, and he's suffered an ACL. You heard it here first. That's right, a corked leg. So he will actually be fine. He'll be back next week. Sean Burgoyne, he had a bit of a hammy issue this week as well. It was misdiagnosed, I thought. So the claim was a twinge. I thought it was awareness. And then Clarko came out and just dispelled both of those things and said, actually, he's just old. Adam Treloar. Again this afternoon, so he went off with hammy concerns as well, and I don't know if anyone saw the footage, but he was chasing the ball down the sideline. He sort of fell down. He cramped in both hammies. He should be right to go. He said after the game that he was just going to get into an ice bath and watch
Love Island.
State of Origin. Yeah, Love Island, jeez. And the final injury for the week is to Mitch Wallace's contract next year. So he's probably suffered, you know, every single second that ball drifted towards the sideline was like $5,000, and, you know, but then, you know, the more I reflect on it, he's probably still going to get picked up by Gold Coast or Carlton for 500. So, you know, that's it.
And if Essendon want him, we'll have to give our first round draft pick back to them as well for him.
Correct.
No, thank you very much for that. Have we got anything else, boys, that we saw over the weekend that piqued our interest?
No, not really. I'm just glad the bye rounds are over. I mean, I love the bye rounds, but I'm glad they're over.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. I want them to go for another 6 weeks.
Well, especially no football on free-to-air TV on a Sunday. That's just a crock of shit.
I actually didn't know that was a thing until I switched it on this afternoon, and it was VFL.
Mm. And a poor,
why is it VFL?
Poor game of VFL at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Rubbish.
Watching the footy on your phone is not ideal. As Optus fans would know. But that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much, gentlemen. The bye rounds are finally finished, and we can have our full list teams in heading in towards our finals. Good luck in your matchups. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman 33, at ST Porter 15, and at The Potato Bake. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au as well. We've got articles dropping Monday to Friday for you. And check out the Facebook as well. Just search The Draft Doctors. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.